We're celebrating the holidays around here, and we have an awesome episode for you guys today. First up, an update from Gwen on what's going on with her life. And second, we have holiday saving tips from the community. Let's go.
Welcome to Fire Drill Podcast, where side hustles, savings, and creativity lead to financial independence. With your hosts, Gwen from Fiery Millennials and Jay from Millennial Boss.
Live from Gwen's mom's basement, literally, this is Fire Drill Podcast. Gwen, let's kick it off. Tell everyone, what's your life update? How are you doing?
Yes, we haven't recorded for a little bit, so I've had some time to sit back and process things and let life start flowing again. And I'm feeling pretty good about my life, honestly. I feel like I'm in a pretty good place. I have been on the job hunt since basically last 2 months or so. So I'm finally starting to see some of the fruit of that effort, which is great. I've been back and forth to DC for a few interviews, and I have a job offer and accepted a job offer in DC at a pretty cool place. So I was pretty excited about that until somebody else got back to me, and the position is for a much, much, much better job than the one at the really cool institution. So I accepted the first job just as like a backup plan, but I'm really gunning for the second job. So I had an interview on Thursday, and they called me Friday and said, hey, we really want you back, and we think you did a great job in your interview. So let's see what we can do to get you through the next stage and get you hired and get you ready to start working. And I was like, yes, this is the best thing ever. So it looks like taking a 9-month break isn't going to be too much of a problem for me in the grand scheme of things, which is pretty much the best case scenario. And I'm very grateful for that.
First of all, I just want to say that we are all so happy for you. And I'm using the collective we, because when we talked about everything that you were going through on the Halloween episode, so many listeners reached out, and it felt like so nice to know that it's not just the two of us here talking on a microphone. I mean, this is like a big collective fire community, and you're awesome, Gwen, and you deserve all this good that's coming your way. Just want to let you
okay,
know.
Okay, I thought I was going to be over the whole crying about that thing, but you're making me tear up again, because seriously, I was completely overwhelmed by the support from the community. All of the messages that slid in my DMs and personal email and the blog or the podcast email, like seriously, made me feel so loved. I can't express how grateful I am for this wonderful community that we've created.
I also love how you just said sliding into my DMs, which is more of like a dating term. Has anyone been trying to slide into your DMs?
Yes, actually. Not going to lie. For a brief while, I was on a Market Watch article that got copied over to Yahoo Finance and Wall Street Journal, and like the hits to my LinkedIn went crazy because my Facebook is semi-private. And yeah, people like sent me messages on LinkedIn like, hey, I saw that you're single. Sorry to hear about that. But I just want to say, like, I think you're really cute. And I'm just like, ugh, no, stop, please. Ugh.
Wow, getting hit on LinkedIn. That's a new one.
I know. Guys, if you ever think that you want to hit on somebody on LinkedIn, maybe stop and think to yourself, is this the best idea?
But would you want someone to hit on you over Facebook Messenger? I mean, what's the preferred communication channel for something like this? Email, maybe?
I mean, well, at least Facebook is more like personal connections, right? Like LinkedIn is professional. I expect professional behavior on that site.
Very true. Very true.
Maybe I just have high expectations. I don't know.
So this is what I love about your story. And by the way, some of the reaction to the Market Watch profile, and we'll link to the article in the show notes, people were throwing a lot of shade at you.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, because from your perspective, this year has been so difficult, but you also you survived 9 months without a corporate job, and you still have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. So it's like, I'm sorry, can someone please tell me the problem here?
Well, and like every time I appear in one of these articles, I tell them specifically, like, do not say anything about retire or retirement. I did not retire. And people always read that and go, well, no wonder it didn't work out. She tried to retire with $200,000. That's dumb. That's only like, you know, $7,000 withdrawal rate a year. And it's like, obviously, I know it's dumb. That's why I'm not retiring. ugh, it just grinds my gears a little bit.
Yeah. Although anytime we get publicity, it's all good for the movement, the podcast, even if it comes with some backlash.
Yeah, that's true. I did get a lot of positive comments as well. So
also, you know, we have a lot of new listeners from Brazil. So, hey guys, what up?
If I knew how to say hello, thanks for listening in Portuguese, I would totally do that. Yes. But I don't. So
from
I'm sorry.
Everyone who's not from Brazil, an article that Gwen was on got syndicated to, was it BBC World or something?
BBC Brazil, yeah.
We got hundreds of people who started to join our Facebook group from Brazil. So we need to do something for you guys, some type of international fire story, because we've been having a lot of US focused people lately. So if anyone wants to come on the podcast and tell that story, please pitch us firedrillpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we would love to hear from our Brazilian friends.
Okay, so back to Gwen's next steps. So right now you're in your mom's basement, but this is more like the last week before you move to DC. Tell us, like, what's the plan? What are you doing?
Last couple of days, actually, and I'm pretty pumped. I'm very grateful that my parents took me in, and as one commenter on Market Watch said, you know, they're delaying their own retirement to help me out, which is totally not true. I have the privilege of being able to go home if necessary. You know, my parents still live in a big house. They've got plenty of space for me and the cat. They can afford to, you know, feed me some food here and there. So very grateful for that. But that being said, my parents drive me bonkers some days. And so I can't wait to get out of here. So I received an email from a listener / reader of mine. He said, hey, I've got an empty basement in the DC area, pretty conveniently located to the metro system. So if you need a place to stay briefly while you settle into the DC area and figure out where you want to be, you're more than welcome to stay with us. So on the last trip to DC, I went to their house for dinner, and they are a very lovely couple, and I'm going to be living in their basement. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's going to be a good fit for everybody involved.
People rock.
They really do.
I think it's funny how you're back with your parents, and I know that you're so grateful that they're giving you the space, but they're putting all these weird rules on you too. When you're like, hey, I'm 28 years old. I don't need to be kind of treated like this in some ways. Like when your stepdad locked you out of the room with the internet, like he unplugged the internet. That was crazy.
Yeah. So our house got hit by lightning when I was like 12 or 13. It fried my alarm clock. It fried the VCR. It fried the answering machine and his joystick on his computer that he was using at the time that the house got hit by lightning. So, you know, he's a little paranoid about the house getting hit by lightning and frying a whole bunch of electronics again. I've tried introducing the concept of surge protectors to him, and it's still not working. So every time the weather gets bad, the modem and a lot of other electronics in the house get unplugged. So we all went away for Thanksgiving, and since nobody was in the house, he unplugged the internet and then promptly locked the door to his office where the modem is. So when I got home a day earlier than them, I was alone in a house trying to study for this test, which requires internet access, and I was straight out of luck. So that sucks. And then also, I've gotten yelled at for putting a knife in the sink wrong.
Man. Brings me back.
So it's a little stressful. And based on some of the behaviors that I've picked back up since moving back in the house, I've realized a lot about my behavior in relationships is based off a lot of coping mechanisms that I picked up while living in my parents' house growing up. So you can bet your bippies that I will be going to therapy once I start working again and can afford it, because there's some things that need to be worked out for sure.
No shame in that. Are you worried about moving from middle of the country to the city? Can you be a city girl?
You know, I think I can. I, on this last trip to DC, I rented a car to drive around to get to the interviews and meet up with friends for dinner and stuff. And driving a brand new Kia Soul that was white around Northern Virginia was very stressful, just because I was so worried about causing damage to the car. And people in Northern Virginia drive like maniacs. So that was pretty stressful. But I'm really looking forward to all of the things that being in a big metropolitan area have to offer. Cheap travel. There's two major international airports nearby that I can fly out of. I'm much closer to like Europe and places to go travel. So that gets me excited. And there are other options too. Like, for example, I've only found one meat CSA, which is like community share agriculture for like vegetables. But instead of vegetables, you get like beef, pork, and chicken each month. There's one option that I found around my area and the area an hour and a half where I used to work. And it was a really good option. And I really enjoyed it. But it was one option. And if you couldn't make the pickup, then you were out of luck. But in DC, there's at least 8 options that I've found. That's incredible. Like just the overwhelming amount of choice, anything that I could think about doing. If I wanted to pick up fencing, there's options on Groupon. If I wanted to start rowing, I could do that. I can take self-defense lessons. I can take comedy stand-up lessons. Anything that I can think of is available to do. And that really makes me excited because the sky is the limit on what I can do in a big area like that.
That's what I love about the city too. I never thought I'd be a city person, and Seattle has so much within walking distance to where I live.
And it does. I've been there.
And yeah, exactly. And you don't have to work up the motivation to really go anywhere. When I used to live further out in Colorado Springs, if I wanted to do something, I had to get in the car and drive somewhere. And most days I was like, you know, I don't really feel like doing this. Whereas in Seattle, it's like, can I walk a block? Yes, I can make it one block. I'll be fine. It really forces you to be out.
When I lived in Minneapolis, there is a really great coffee shop around the corner. All I had to do was walk there and I got a really nice coffee. Here, the nearest coffee shop that's not a gas station is easily a 10-minute drive away.
Yeah, and 10 minutes seems like nothing, but it kind of makes a difference once you've had the walkability. But, you know, there are definitely trade-offs to it, too. I mean, I don't see myself living in a city forever, but I really like it for now.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to getting into the big metro area again and having everything that a big city has to offer, to include an expanded dating pool. I'm very excited about that fact.
Ooh, yeah, I remember a year ago when you were like, we have this great fire dating idea.
Yeah,
and it never happened.
I remember that.
Well, maybe you know, you can be the impetus. We'll bring that back up again.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Too soon.
There's a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Okay, so
how's your life been? We've been talking about me a lot. What's up with you?
Well, my life. So speaking of the city, a year ago, we put an offer in on a house in Seattle. Just this week, we put an offer in on a house 12 months later.
You did?
Yes, I know. My sister was like, you didn't even tell me about this. We just did. On Sunday, my husband and I went and we toured some houses. And then on Tuesday, we put an offer in. And this house had been on the market forever. And the person had already dropped the price, like $400,000. So it was clear that the seller was having a lot of issues and we probably could get this house for a little bit of a deal. We went in $95,000 lower than list price, and that was too low for the seller. So we essentially, I would say we fairly lowballed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And she didn't
accept it.
Like,
not an insult, but like a legit offer.
Yeah. Because the house, it did need a lot of work, but it had, I would say, like 3 out of our 4 main things that we were looking for. And, you know, I love my doggy child, so backyard was definitely on the top of the list. And it had a nice backyard. And, like, great location, still right by the bus lines. It wouldn't change my daily routine that much at all. And same for my husband. But she didn't accept it. So, I mean, we're not, like, actively looking for a house. This is more if the perfect situation comes up that makes sense financially and works for our lives, then we'll jump on it. So who knows? Maybe it'll take 12 months again. But the Seattle market is down. I think it's down like 10% in list price year over year.
Wow.
So yeah, it's cooling off here. But a lot of people would say my money is better put into index funds and all these things. But our neighbors upstairs were definitely playing Dance Dance Revolution last night at like 10:30. And we're just sick of it. Oh, no, my husband's saying 2:30. It was 2:30 a.m. So, yeah.
Well, that's awful.
It's so awful. So we're looking forward.
Fortunately, my roommates go to bed at 9 o'clock nowadays.
I bet. Yeah, we're looking forward to having our own space again. So that happened. Then the second update is that I've achieved one of my main goals for the year. So one of my goals that we said a year ago is I wanted to be better in the home. Like I wanted to cook and clean and like do all these things that I literally did zero of it for the past 5 years. And
our both of us is not strong suits at all.
No, it is not our strong suit. And I cook every single night now. And it's edible.
Wow.
And it's actually good, says my husband. So, hey.
Wow, that's high praise.
Yes, it is. So how I've done this is I have my Instant Pot, which, you know, I talk about every 5 seconds because I'm obsessed with it. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a pressure cooker. And it's, I don't know what, they basically put like the word Instant Pot on it in Cosmic Sans on the front of it. And now they're selling it as this whole new gadget, but it's the pressure cooker that's been around for like decades pretty much, but it's awesome. So on Mondays, I get my imperfect produce order. So that is my box of undersized or slightly dented imperfect produce, like fruits and vegetables that like distributors or whatever, they throw it away. But instead they ship it to you and you can get it for like a discount. So it costs us like $20 for enough vegetables and fruit for the whole week. And then all we have to do when we go to the grocery store is pick up like meat and other things. Carbs, if I want to go real crazy. But my husband doesn't eat a lot of carbs, so I try not to put that much in our food. And then on Monday, the stuff gets delivered. Then I just like chop all my vegetables. I put it in the Instant Pot. I add the meat. I put some liquid on it, like chicken broth or beef broth. I shut the Instant Pot. And then 25 minutes later, I have our dinner. And I do that every single day.
Amazing.
And I'm just really impressed. Like people who cook dinner every night, they're probably like, yeah, like this is what everyone else in the whole world does. Like, congrats. Like, don't pat yourself on the back for feeding yourself. But I'm really happy with myself and I'm pleased right now.
Although I will say that it's been very helpful to have an Instant Pot expert in my back pocket because my parents got an Instant Pot. And what we didn't realize is that they just got the 8-in-1 multi-cooker and not the actual pressure cooker version. So when I was texting you, I was like, why isn't this working? Why isn't this going super fast? And then we were like, oh, we bought the wrong ones. We had to go back to Walmart the next day and exchange it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I have the 6-in-1.
Yeah. And so we got the, I think, the 8-quart 6-in-1 pressure cooker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll link to the one I have.
It works great.
I think I got it for a little under $100, but on like Prime Day this year and on Black Friday and stuff, they go way down. And I gifted this to everyone too for like weddings and whatever. It's just a great gift. It's a great product. I mean, it's so easy. It's because I used to do the slow cooker, but then you have to put it on in the morning and all day you're like, is my house going to burn down? And all these thoughts. Whereas the Instant Pot, it just does the same thing and makes everything like nice and soft, but in like 25 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I really like my crock pot. I call it my crack pot because I'm a little addicted to it. But I say that because I don't have an Instant Pot.
Do your parents make you cook dinner for them at night?
They don't actually. Mom cooks, but I help. And I go to the grocery store and like buy stuff if I'm out and about. And I'm like, hey, I'm out and about. Do you need me to pick up anything from the store?
Aww.
You know, so I'm trying to pull my own weight. You know, I empty the garbage can and do all sorts of other chores as well. So trying to be a good house guest.
Oh, that's nice.
It literally is the least I can do.
So that's really it. The third update is that my entire apartment, which is very small in a loft, as you know, Gwen, it has turned into a guitar building factory. But it's really cool what's happening right now.
Ha ha.
So
okay, so tell me more.
So my husband, he is super into guitars, as I've said many times in the podcast, and he also wants to build guitars. So he at first he wanted to go to this, it's like a building guitar camp. It's like this 2-month camp in Michigan, and I think it's like $7,000 where every day they teach you how to builds guitars and like all these different things in depth. And he can do that because he works at a university and he teaches. So he has the summers off. But before he commits to this really long thing, I was trying to encourage him like, well, why don't you just try to like build a guitar yourself with like a kit or something and see if you like it. And then you can do this thing. So he got a Martin guitar kit. I think it was like $300. So now my standing desk and then a second desk, which he found in the trash in our apartment complex, which is a great desk. He's building a guitar and it's really cool. I think it's about like halfway done and it looks like a guitar right now. But every night he's been like gluing and like sawing things. And one day he brought home a bandsaw and we have a bandsaw like literally in this tiny apartment. But I'm being very supportive and it's cool what it's becoming.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the three updates in my life right now.
Wonderful. Well, it is getting towards that time of year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The most wonderful time of year. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Christmas is coming up. We put out a call to action on our Facebook group and wanted to hear everybody's best kind of, I don't know, what do you say, hacks towards Christmas?
I'd call them hacks or just how to save money, ideas to save money during the holidays.
Yeah, best tips and tricks. So we are going to share those with you. And for the sake of brevity, because we got an overwhelming amount of responses, which was awesome, we kind of grouped them into different groups. So Jay, which one do you want to do first?
Why don't we start with the idea of consumables? So James suggests we buy and ask for consumable items so no one has to deal with the guilt of keeping a useless gift. So real, James, so real. We ask for wine, olive oil, spices, coffee, beer, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really like this idea because you're not only are you gifting people consumables, but then you're telling people like, oh, this is what I want. Because I personally don't like when people buy me gifts for the most part, like 99% of the time. So just saying when people say, oh, what do you want? You can say like, oh, I really like I want like fancy olive oil or like, you know, cool coffee or something.
A bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to give consumables out this year just because I don't want to give my parents any more stuff. You know, being around their stuff for the last month or so, they have a lot of stuff and they're not going to be around forever. And then I'm going to have to figure out what to do with all their stuff. So the more that I can give them that they use up before anything happens to them, the better. Kind of morbid, but you know, that's kind of the things that you have to think about when your parents get older. So AK Fisher says, throughout the summer, I preserve pickles and jams with the purpose of gifting them / serving them at Christmas.
I love the idea. I actually took a canning class. So speaking of activities you can do in the city, I took a canning class, which was really cool. And Tamsin has given us a gift of canning. So Tamsin was on our Etsy. She was in the Etsy Mastermind, and then she came on the Etsy Mastermind episode, which was actually our second most popular episode ever, where we all shared how we built our Etsy digital downloads business. So we'll link that episode in the show notes in case anyone wants to see it. But Tamsin gave us some awesome canned stuff, and I think it's just a great gift. Really, really thoughtful.
Speaking of that, I got my second Etsy sale yesterday.
No way.
Yeah,
congrats.
$5 in my bank account.
Why didn't
I have now
you, like,
doubled my sales.
Why didn't you just
sales
like blast
are up 100%.
This? I feel like you should have just dropped that in the Facebook group or something. Oh, because you're busy trying to move to DC.
Basically, yeah, I just forgot about it.
Yeah. So my husband, he
I was like, oh, that's cool.
My husband, like, basically when we got on this Etsy thing, I was trying to convince everyone to open an Etsy shop because I think it's just the best idea ever. So I convinced him to open a guitar one, and he sells guitar hats and t-shirts, and he got his first two sales last week too.
Look at him go.
Yeah, I was super happy. But I mean, he had no sales for months. So something happened last week.
Well, tell him that we are now tied for number of sales.
We're tied for number of sales. Yeah. I mean, I'm at 498. So I'm so close to 500. I hope by the end of the year I can cross it.
You literally have 250 times the amount of sales that I do.
I'm sorry. We're in different markets. We're trying
don't
to sell
apologize.
The different markets. The Bachelorette awesome. One is crushing it.
Yeah. So Brooke says, we skip the gifts with extended family and decorate cookies or gingerbread houses instead.
I think that's really nice. Some of my best memories when I was growing up are cookie decorating with my aunts and my mom, my cousins.
Yeah, my mom has like 8 million different cookie cutters. So we used a whole bunch of them one year and I had a snowman and the snowman's head fell off the cookie. So I just made it like a zombie one. It was pretty great.
Love it. So Jenny suggests a few years ago, we did infused liquors. Boy, did they go over well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. But here's a pro tip for you. If you're doing Skittles vodka, do not mainline that because you will feel awful later.
What do you mean mainline?
Just like don't drink all of it at once in a very short amount of time. It's a bad idea.
Noted. Other Jenny says fudge is a super easy, super delicious, and perfect treat this time of year.
I would agree. As long as it doesn't have raisins in it, that's just weird.
Who's done fudge and raisins?
My mom loves fudgy raisin.
Oh, man. This kind of reminds me of the Great British Bake Off. Have you ever watched some of the food that they make?
I have not.
It's like things that you wouldn't necessarily combine together like that, like meat and rhubarb or something.
So speaking of making things, we also had a bunch of people offer suggestions around the DIY spheres. So you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So Jennifer says she makes awesome bath bombs, soaps, and scrubs. And she makes one big batch, makes it with love, and gives it out to her friends.
I would probably honestly use that way more than like getting a Bath and Body Works lotion.
Exactly.
I gave away so many of those when I moved. I don't use lotions. So it's just like, oh, thanks for the smelly stuff that makes me get a headache. But scrubs, I would use that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. And I think it all when you're doing a DIY or food gift, you can make it cool with the presentation, you know? Like put a ribbon around it or something like somewhat cute, and then you feel like it's a fancy gift.
And by the way, when I say I would use scrubs, I don't mean like the don't go chasing waterfalls version of scrubs. Like,
yeah, you are single now. Make it clear. I don't want no scrubs.
Yeah, I don't want no scrubs, okay? But like, I'm good with like foot scrubs.
And foot rubs, let's be clear. Okay. AK says, I'm also a machine knitter who wholesales yarn, so I use that skill to make wool socks as gifts.
Listen, if somebody gives you something that is knitted or crocheted and made by them, they put a lot of time and effort in it, so you better pretend to be happy about it, because that is a lot of work to just get an underwhelming gift, okay?
I believe you.
So Christy says, I like beautiful gift wrap, but hate the price. So for a couple of small boxes I need wrapped, I got 25-cent sheets of paper used for scrapbooking. It looks so professional, and I only use what I need for a tiny fraction for a roll of paper. And then you can also have a lot of variety as well, because you're not tied to one big roll.
Yep. Someone also told me just get brown paper bags and you can get a stamp and like stamp them with cool patterns.
You know, my sister's been using brown paper bags for like decorations and wrapping paper for ages. And she always does such neat artsy things on them. They look so great.
Like, what is something that she's done?
So for instance, hanging in my room right now is a like, what are those little flag decorations that you hang on the wall that have letters on them?
A pennant?
Yeah. Well, no, not pennants. Like the one like on a string, and each thing has a different letter on it. But it says welcome on it. And it looks really cute and decorated. But all she did was cut it out of a brown paper bag. But it looks super cute.
Pinteresting. I like it.
It's got that kitschy, Pinteresty look, you know?
Yep. Okay, Madeline, she recycles shopping bags into gift bags and things like magazine pages, play flyers, and maps. And she paints silver stars on plain paper or glue, and she glues over parts of old Christmas cards. Huh. I like it. It sounds crafty.
And then she also says, I also recycle Christmas cards into gift tags by cutting out a picture and using a whole bunch. I think that's super awesome.
I think that is so actionable. That's something that we all should be doing. Like, I remember growing up, my mom always had a bag of gift tags, like actual gift tags, when you can just go and cut the cards up. That's genius. Use a hole punch. Like, why would you ever buy gift tags anymore? That's smart.
I would also like to point out for things like birthday gifts, if you use comic papers from the newspaper to wrap your gifts in, it goes over super great.
Does it get print on your hands?
It depends on the newspaper, I guess, but not really.
Yeah. Cool.
But you only get one chance to fold it. Either that or you're done.
Okay, so we're switching topics here, but this is a hack for the holiday work schedule. So Leah says, just work Christmas and make time and a half.
Which is kind of depressing, but I mean, you know, if you don't have any family in the area or you want your coworkers to spend time with their families, then, you know, it's nice.
Yeah. Although I grew up in a family with a lot of nurses, and that was just normal. Like someone worked Christmas Eve, someone worked Christmas, and they usually stopped by and they left at whatever time they could. And in college, actually, I worked at a hospital for summers, and I let it be known that I would work holidays. So people would always call me, and I made so much money when I came home for college break. And then I could keep that job for like multiple years. And I didn't have to, I worked like 3 days a year, but I made really good money. And I spent it all on alcohol and Forever 21. So that was just a waste.
Complete hashtag waste. 20-year-olds.
Yep. So smart.
Or 21-year-olds, I guess. Yep. So Michael says, work during the holidays and then take vacation when everything isn't jacked up for the holidays. He says this is also the most productive time to work, because then you can focus on your work and not have to get distracted by a deluge of emails or phone calls.
Yep. And I am taking Christmas off, like the whole week off this week. But in the past, I haven't taken it off, and there's nobody in the office. It's a ghost town. I would rather take off like a time when I really need the time off. You know, maybe the middle of the summer when things are busy or whatever, then waste the Christmas days. But this year we're doing a road trip to Lake Tahoe. So with friends, which I'm excited about.
So my new company, the one that I'm angling for the offer, not the one that I already have the offer for, they take 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's and completely shut down the company. Nobody works.
Oh, I love that. That's so great.
I can't wait. That's what my old company did as well for certain divisions. And it's truly wonderful.
Yeah, I should say that one of the this is a horrible thing, and this is not why I'm not going home to either my husband's, where he grew up, or where I grew up for Christmas this year. And part of it is that we've lived away for so many years, and 1 year we didn't go back for Christmas. And it's kind of like, I'd rather just go back at another time at this point. But when you don't go back for Christmas, you don't have the same responsibility to give everyone and their mother gifts. And by the way, like, I love our family, so I'm not trying to say this that way, but it's kind of true.
Yeah, it's true. So if you don't want to give gifts, we have a few options for that as well. So Vanessa says not following the trends and buying any unnecessary gadgets, which is actually a lot harder than you think it is.
Yep. Do you have any gadgets on your list, Gwen?
Surprisingly, no. Most of mine is consumables or easy stuff. Like, have you seen those double layered socks at like Dick's Sporting Goods or REI or something?
I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean double air?
No, double layer. So like,
oh yeah, I know these socks. My dad buys them for me.
Yeah. You've got like the knitted outsides and then you've got like the fuzzy insides. So they're like slipper socks, but like on steroids.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the socks, like the no blister socks, because I've gotten a lot of those and they're good.
Oh, no, something different. These just look really warm and fuzzy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fuzzy socks.
All about keeping my feet warm.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I've got things like tea and chocolate and Amazon gift cards.
Nice. Yeah, I really don't like receiving gifts. And I actually tell people, even for our wedding, I think we didn't want gifts and like, I just don't want them because we live in this small apartment and already everything is already full. And having to downsize when we had that house in Colorado, it was very stressful. And I had like stuff just out of my apartment in California. And that's when I went on the massive Craigslist frenzy and made $4,000 in 4 weeks selling everything that we had. So the idea of getting more things is very stressful to me. But I'm happy with my Instant Pot. And also we got a sous vide.
Oh, yeah.
Which is epic. So for Thanksgiving, we hosted a Friendsgiving. My sister and I co-hosted. And my husband and I did two turkeys. We sous vide'd one and then we roasted one just in case the sous vide didn't work out. Because this is our first time like ever cooking the turkey, just us and not having parents helping there. So if anyone doesn't know what a sous vide is, basically it's this like boiling hot water and there's this like tech stick. I don't know what to call it. It's like the stick that you put into the water and it heats it up to like 150 degrees or whatever temperature you want it to be. And then you put the meat in there in Ziploc bags. Or you can get fancy bags if you want to. And you let it sit there for 5 hours. But the bags like trap all the moisture. It's like awesome. And it tastes really good. So it ended up being delicious. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not Instant Potting, I'm attempting something with a sous vide. But it does take longer. And it's more expensive. I think ours, it might have been $100 maybe. But there's the Joule version, which is like more expensive and people think it's better. But the cheaper one, the Innova, is fine in my opinion. And I think it's better because it has a display.
Huh.
So yeah, sous vide. If anyone has any good sous vide recipes, send them to me.
Yeah. Also, I would just like to point out that I've been filling out security clearance background information. And they're like, list out every address you've had for the last 7 years. I had to find 10 different addresses. Do you know how hard that is? I moved 10 times in the last 7 years. I don't have time to move stuff around. Although I will say, my mom gave me the family's KitchenAid stand mixer, and that's amazing because it has all of the attachments to it.
Jealous.
Yeah, I'm willing to haul that sucker around the country.
Yeah, I don't even have a mixer anymore. Like, if I have to mix anything, I just hit it really hard with, like, a spoon. I don't know.
It's a good workout, I guess.
Yeah. All right, we got really distracted by the gadgets. So let's keep going.
Back to the no gifts.
Yep. Okay, Jennifer says buns. B-U-N-Z. I don't think she means cinnamon buns. Let's see what this thing is. It sounds like it's a mobile app.
I ain't got no buns, son.
Buns, it says post-trade declutter with this mobile app. So basically, I think it's some type of like trading app. So basically, you get presents. You get used presents from other people. No money changes hands. I like that idea. You get stuff out of your house. It's like a win-win.
Other people's trash is your treasure and vice versa.
Exactly. And that's like the buy nothing groups. Every zip code has one. Like I think in Seattle, we have a million. But people put good stuff on there.
I need to look at that in my new area. I'm so excited to be part of one of those. They didn't have them in Minneapolis where I lived. Okay. So Liz says, nope. Gift packs with my siblings, breath of fresh air to focus on quality time together instead of gifts and the associated stress.
And that seems to be a consistent theme. A lot of people said with your siblings, don't do gifts. Although my sister already told me that she got me a gift for my dog, which I mean, I love gifts for my dog. So I will have to get her a gift for her dog and I'll be excited about it.
My one sister would be happy with a donation. Like I bought a goat for a village in Africa or something. But my other sister doesn't necessarily make enough money to be able to get everything that she wants. So I'm happy to buy gifts for her for Christmas.
That's
but
nice.
Again, I have like 6 people that I buy Christmas presents for. So it's not like my burden is huge to begin with.
Right. Yeah.
So Hillary says no exchanging with my siblings. So yeah, she's another one for the no gift exchanging at all.
Kelly says don't buy anyone at work gifts and don't participate in work gift exchanges. I agree with
that. Like, is that a thing?
Yes,
that
it's totally
do?
A thing.
Because I never did that at my work's places.
So my first job out of college, I was a legal assistant for the sales department, and salespeople will give you gifts. Like, I used to get $50 Visa gift cards and tons of things.
Dang.
At Christmas, because they're happy, like, if you submit their contracts on time so they get paid or whatever. I don't know. But that was, like, my first experience of, like, wow, the Christmas, the holiday season is the best. But then in the other roles I've had, and no one really gave gifts. I did work somewhere where, like, your boss might get you a gift or something. I don't think my department now people do things like that. And I'm totally okay with it.
The only gift I've ever gotten from a boss was when she was retiring and cleaning off the knickknacks on her desk. And so I got a coin tin that was plastered all over with our company's stuff. And it had a 100 grand bar in it. That's the only present I've ever gotten. That was in like August.
I prefer a zero work situation. I don't like when work wants to drag you into a fantasy football thing. I don't like any of those. I really like my coworkers, and this is the first time I've actually like hung out with coworkers more seriously outside of work, and it's awesome, but I don't want to be exchanging gifts with them.
So would you rather say that you'd rather do activities?
We are going to we're doing activities. Like last year we played duffel board. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's like mini golf, but you play it. There are like 9 holes. It's usually in like a bar type situation, but you have a mallet. And you hit the golf ball into the hole like mini golf, but with your hand, and you like push it with the mallet. It's really fun. We did that.
I think I need to go YouTube this because I have no idea.
It's
what
a good
you're
time.
About.
It's a good time.
But you don't have those in the middle of nowhere.
Well, you know, maybe in DC you'll become a duffel board master.
Yeah, maybe because they probably have a duffel board league.
They have a league for everything, a league of their own.
Oh, so excited.
So let's go back to this. So Katie said no gifts. So basically a lot of people are like, let's just not do gifts and get the family on board and they're into it.
But we do have people who offer alternatives to giving gifts. And a lot of people turns out to like give activities that everybody can do together. So Joanna says, we sometimes do contests like crazy outfits for getting together for Christmas.
And Rachel says she tries to get her family a group gift that everyone can do together. One year, she spent about $60, and they did a family group archery lesson.
That is awesome. I've seen a lot of families doing those escape rooms now.
Oh, my God. Doing an escape room is like, I love doing escape rooms, but that's where it brings out like the best and worst of people. Like one of our friends, this couple, they got into a massive fight over like entering the code in the system because she thought the code was biscuit and like he thought it was something else, and they just broke down. So I could imagine like families getting into wars over escape room.
Yeah, maybe not the best for my family. So a different Rachel says, my 3 friends and I purchase each other restaurant deals on Travelzoo. Then we get to see each other twice over the season.
That's really nice.
I think that's a great idea.
Yes. And we cannot not mention this. Secret Santa times 1,000. So everyone mentioned that they have convinced their family members this year to do a Secret Santa, and it was way better. In my family, when I did go home last year, we did a white elephant. And that went over really well. And this is for the extended family because my mom has 9 brothers and sisters. So it was like a lot of cousins and it just got to be a lot. So now anyone over 18 participates in the white elephant and you get like this joke gift. And people have so much fun and they take it so seriously. And it's always like the dumbest gift that everyone wants. Like one year it was a piggy bank. Not to say that's a dumb gift, but you know, what are you going to do with that? People went nuts over it, trying to get it and stealing it from each other.
We did like under $1 white elephant gift exchange last year. And that was pretty funny because it's hard to find things that are $1 or less. But I ended up with a pretty awesome Fala Llama notepad.
Nice. That's, wow, under $1. That's genius. All right. Justin suggests setting a gift limit, like a $1 gift limit, and then do a drawing for who gives to whom versus buying for everyone. I think that is the key. But this is the thing with the $1 gift limit. You always have one person that goes like way under and everyone like knows who it's going to be. And then you have people that go way over and they're so extravagant. And it's like, I mean, I can understand this because sometimes you don't have the time to be creative within the dollar amount. So you're like, you know what, I'm just going to get this and not worry about it. But sometimes I find that they can be really good, but it depends on your group.
Yeah. If you have to exchange gifts or anything, make sure that you set a dollar limit so people know what they can spend up to. Now, some people, like you just mentioned, you know, try and like, you're like, oh, up to $50. That means I don't have to spend $50. But other people are like, oh, I'm going to spend $50 because that's the limit.
So Christy said that she does a $20 nice gifts only exchange. And by the way, nice gifts only is in all capital letters. So that just shows you how like crazy people get about these type of things, because some people will give like a $10 gift and then other people will go nuts. So it's kind of funny that she put it that way.
Yeah, right. So Anna says she's one of 10 kids. Wow. So for as long as I can remember, we do a sibling name drawing for Christmas. We each draw two names and then post a $15 to $20 limit wish list in our Facebook group. We each also pitch in $10 to get a present for our parents.
On a similar vein, Jennifer says, my family talks about what we want as gifts, which eliminates wasting money on unwanted gifts.
Yeah, so how my family does it is we come up with a list, and usually my relatives stick to the list, which is great. My parents always think that I want something else and they do not stick to the list, and then I get things that I don't want.
This is what is, I think, is interesting. This is going to sound horrible, but like if I wanted something, I would just buy it. Is that awful?
Well, no, because we have enough discretionary income that we can just, yeah, you know, think about something and buy it if we want to. But there are other people that use Christmas for things that they can't afford. Once I started working, that was something that I really had to be conscious of. So after about October, I stopped buying things for myself. And when I'm like, I really want this, then I'll put it on my list and I'll ask for it for Christmas. And if I don't get it for Christmas, then I'll just go buy it in January.
That is a great perspective, Gwen. Thank you. Thank you for checking me there. All right. So Melanie says, my husband's family does this awesome thing where everyone gets everyone else the same present. That's kind of cool. Never heard of that before.
Yeah, that's a little tricky because I don't think everybody in my family would want the same thing. But, you know, if it works for your family, it works for your family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of like it. I mean, I would get everyone an Instant Pot. I mean, that's kind of inexpensive. But, like, what's the equivalent of that where people love it?
Have you seen they're bringing the Billy Bass thing back? But instead of singing terrible songs, it's got like an Amazon Alexa in it or something else like that. So you can just be like, hey, Billy. And it goes, what can I do for you today?
Oh, my. Okay. I have to look this up. That could
I feel
be,
like that'd be pretty great.
That could be a mass gift. That's great. All right. Luann says, buying things at certain times of the year. He buys his oil for his car on Black Friday and then fixes up his car himself. Big cost saver there.
Yeah, so buying off-season, it's a good time to save money, especially when big sales like Black Friday. So Gisela says she collects beauty sets in January when prices are reduced post-holidays. And so then you don't have to spend it at Christmas, which is wonderful if you have the space and money left over after Christmas to stock up. Also works wonders for things like Christmas decorations, like lights and stuff. They all get deeply discounted after Christmas. And wrapping paper. Excellent time of year to buy wrapping paper.
Yep. Also, I have given boxes of Christmas decorations to the Goodwill. So I'm assuming that at any time you can probably buy Christmas decorations there for like really cheap. Karen says she planned to do 100% of her Christmas shopping on Cyber Monday and shops through Ebates. So Ebates is something that I use too. For anyone who doesn't know, basically anytime you buy something online, if you've downloaded the Ebates browser thing, then you can get whatever the cash back they're offering is for that online store. And almost every online store is on there. So if you buy from Nordstrom, it could be 6% off that day. And then what it does is as you're going through the checkout, you can activate it. You just like click the button in your browser and it takes all that money for you and puts it in an account and then it gives it to you with PayPal.
Yeah, I just recently actually got into like looking it up. I haven't implemented it in my life yet, but I use something similar. It's the browser extension Honey. And so it automatically applies discount codes to your purchases if they can find them and gives you the difference.
I like Honey. Ebates might do that too. The thing with Honey, though, I've never actually taken my money out of it. So I don't know how to do that. Like, I can't figure out how to get the money. So maybe I'm just completely missing it. But if you figure that out, let me know.
Sounds great.
We'll link to them in the show notes. All right. So now we're switching topics to how do you get the money to buy Christmas presents? What are some creative ways that people in the FI community are doing this? Ben says he has a ton of nephews and he loves being the fun uncle and he likes to buy a lot of stuff for them that he enjoyed as a kid. So what he does is he uses the Discover card all year and utilizes their cashback categories throughout each quarter. And then by December, he's racked up a couple $100 in cashback that he can redeem on Amazon and gets them what their little hearts desire. And it's great. I love that idea.
Yeah, that's, as somebody who's also auntie to lots of little kiddos, they can add up quick because little kids love getting toys for Christmas. So I love this idea.
Last year, I got my cousin's son a toy that I got on Amazon and he broke the toy within 10 minutes of getting it. I was so bummed.
Wow, that's a new record.
Yeah. I was like, what? toys are just so disposable. It's like, yeah, but he's so cute. So I definitely
can't make him like
toys.
They used to, huh?
No. Okay, Mark says he gathers up all of the loose change everywhere in his house, takes it to Coinstar, and gets an Amazon gift card code for no fee, and that's the Christmas shopping budget. It's usually about $200 to $300 when he does it every year.
Which should be enough to, you know, at least get some good presents.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's an awesome idea. When we had a house, we probably had more coins. Although, I think I have this, like, millennial aversion to change that I just do not like it. I don't like change. I don't like to carry it. I don't even have a purse. I use a... like a credit card holder on the back of my phone.
Yeah, I also don't carry a purse. So the likelihood of me having cash on hand to get change is low. Yeah. But that being said, anytime I do get cash, which is like, you know, like I'm out to lunch and people pay me $5 for their meal or whatever, then all the loose change gets separated into coin jars. And so I lug coin jars around to each of my moves. I think right now my silver change, my nickels and dimes, has about $100 in it. It's a giant vintage pickle jar. So that's only about the bottom 2 inches of the jar.
Yeah.
When that gets full, I'll have a lot of money in there.
I love any of these type of ideas. I've seen a lot of Christmas budget planners too. And actually, I put one on my site as kind of like a free download to get email list signups, which is like a strategy that bloggers can use. But that's super helpful too. Like anything you can do to plan in advance so that Christmas doesn't come and next thing you know, you have a couple $100 expense that you didn't anticipate.
Yep. You know, it's coming each year. So save a little bit each month if you can, yep. And then you won't be surprised. So there's some other out of the box thinking from our listeners. So Colleen says, we buy a live non-traditional tree each year for Christmas. The kids take turns picking it out. Past choices have included an avocado tree and a lime tree. After the holidays, we plant it in the yard. And then you get avocados and limes.
Genius.
Genius.
Speaking of trees, my husband grew up on a Christmas tree farm. So every year he just cut down his own tree and him and his cousin did all the work to like make the trees ready for Christmas and whatever it takes throughout the year. So this year I made him buy a tree in the city and he was like horrified. He didn't want to spend the money. He didn't like how they were cutting the tree. Apparently they like didn't cut the top off correctly. It was just so funny. But someday, you know, I love this idea. If we had gone with a non-traditional tree, we wouldn't have had to go through this. Genius.
I like having an artificial tree because then you just put it up every year and then put it in a box. And it's good to go. But I actually don't have a Christmas tree because I have a very large cat that's very curious about things. Mm-hmm. So I do not put them up.
Yeah, we only have ornaments halfway the tree up so that the dog doesn't get a little hungry during the day and just chop off, you know, Santa's foot or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So these are our last few tips, and this has to do with our favorite topic on this podcast, money and saving.
Saving that money.
Dylan says he, instead of giving his son gifts, he likes to do a 529 contribution because his son already has tons of gifts anyways, and the 529 contribution will help him out anyways. Like it will help him out for the rest of his life. So that's, you know, money you can put away, tax advantaged until, you know, the future for education. And you can use that for your kids or like nieces or nephews or yourself for classes at any point. So depending on your state, it could be beneficial or not.
Yeah. So he says, I also used to buy for my cousin's children, only child like my nephews, but they got so much that I stopped. Instead, I put the money in an index fund for when they need for college or a house if they don't go to college, which I think is really thoughtful.
Oh, yeah. That was Kelly. Yeah. I think that's super thoughtful. And I don't know, Gwen, do you think you're going to be in the future, you're going to be that type of family member?
Yes.
I already see myself doing that. Like if our nieces or nephews said like, oh, you know, we want this, like we want Uggs, I'd be like, here is an educational gift that's not Uggs that will help you way more, even if you don't realize it yet. And I'm like, oh, I'm that horrible person who gives out raisins on Halloween, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel guilty that I haven't started funding anything for my nieces and nephews. I mean, I only have one of each, but, you know, my niece is already five. So that's 5 years of compound interest that I've lost out on. So I should probably start getting that all together. I don't think my parents or my sister have started one for them either yet. So it would be nice, you know, a little bit helps, even if it's not a lot. Every little bit can help, especially as the cost of college goes up. And who knows what it's going to be like in 13 years when she's ready to go off to college.
I like that idea. One thing that I've started to do for some of the younger women in like high school in our family, I've flown them out to go spend like some time with me and my husband. And then I take them to my work and I try to give them a hard sell of why being a woman in tech is awesome. And I tried this with my younger cousin 2 years ago. Like her interest level was zero. But this year we flew out our nieces from Ohio, where Doug is from, and my sister-in-law. And I took them all around the tour of where I work now and like really like went for the hard sell. And I think they're interested. So now I'm sending them like tech camps. And they asked me for them. So it's not like I'm pushing. But I just think it's such a wonderful career field and there's so many opportunities. So that's kind of how I like to give. I like to give with like experiences that help people grow or see opportunities that they may not have seen before. Is that bad?
No, I think that's amazing.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Because if they want to get in, then you don't need to know somebody, but it's really helpful if you do. Networking is how I got the interview for my second position because I knew somebody on the inside and they recommended me to the hiring manager.
Yeah, exactly.
So the easier you can make their way into getting into a career world, the better they'll be.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking more when someone says they want something and then you tell them that actually something else is better for them than what they actually want. Is that kind of like pedantic? You know, that's kind of like charities where people are like, oh, we want this. And it's like, no, you don't actually want that. You want this. And you give them something different, you know?
Yeah. That's how I ended up with underwear for Christmas when I was 8.
Oh, man, that's rough. All right. Well, I think we're going to close down the episode with that. So happy holidays, everyone. I hope that you're not gifting underwear, but hey, maybe if you are, you'll have a fun Christmas. All right. And with that, we're signing off. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Go to our website, firedrillpodcast.com, to continue the discussion and get the link to our private Facebook group.
If you like us, leave us a review on iTunes. If you're like me, you have no idea how to do that. So in the podcast app or in iTunes, search for Fire Drill Podcast, find it, click the Reviews tab, and write something to make my mother proud of me. We read every single review and want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this podcast possible. I just hear Dallas in the background.
Sorry. He is very chompy, although he won't bark if he's eating, so it's like a trade-off.